This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Amber Walsh. Amber's in the executive committee of McGuire Woods, one of the largest law firms in the world. And she also has for a long time been one of the leaders in the intersection of healthcare and private equity. Today we're going to talk about a different subject. Amber's going to talk about leadership lessons. Amber herself is from middle of the country, Kansas, Missouri, that area of the world. She thus watched the national championship in basketball with great glee as Kansas won, the University of Kansas won, led by Bill Self. She's going to talk about leadership lessons learned from watching Bill Self. Amber, take it away. You're in charge, and I'll try and stay very, very positive and enthusiastic, even though Bill Self left the college I'm an alum of a long time ago to go to Kansas and has great success at Kansas. Amber, Rock Chalk Jayhawk, take it away.
Thank you, Scott. And you are being incredibly gracious to let me talk about Bill Self, given that I am a passionate Jayhawk alum and you most certainly are not. So I appreciate very much that you're letting me talk about Bill Self here. And admittedly, I am incredibly biased on this subject because not only am I a Kansas alum, that's where I went to my undergrad, but I was also there in Kansas City when Roy Williams promised never to leave Kansas. And then in 2003, he broke that promise, went to UNC. I am still 19 years later, a woman scorned. But of course, out of Roy's departure, we got the best gift he ever gave us, which is that perfect time to bring Self from Illinois at just that right time in his career to really kind of turn things from a really, really great program to something pretty incredible. So I appreciate you letting me talk about Bill a little.
So before you get started, before you get going, I will tell you the Roy Williams story is a fascinating story because you know, this is, I guess, endemic of great college coaches. Bill Self gave the same exact discussion on a Monday at Illinois, saying, I'm never leaving here. And what I learned was that that was all negotiation, because on a Thursday, he then gave notice that he was going to Kansas. And we had seen the same thing in the Chicago area with Coach Gary Barnett, who took the Northwestern Wildcats to the Rose Bowl, made a big speech, I'm never leaving Northwestern, and then a couple days later, went to the University of Colorado. And so when you talk about a woman scorned, I had been, by the time that Bill Self did this, I felt like an educated citizen that once a coach says, I'm never leaving, you better start interviewing for the next person. But anyways, let me let you take it away. And taking ethics aside and honesty aside, let me let you talk about the great leadership that Bill Self has provided at Kansas.
Well, I certainly will. There's no doubt that he is highly successful. And obviously, he is in a career position and an industry that is measured statistically, right? And so I won't bore you with all the incredible statistics on his winning percentage at KU and even what he did at Oral Roberts in Tulsa and Illinois before he came to KU. But it is interesting because his industry, unlike a lot of others, is very measured on results that are numerically calculated. But I'll set all that aside and just kind of talk about how the things that we have observed as Jayhawk fans, and even if you're not a Jayhawk fan, I think you can recognize, even my husband, who is a rabid Missouri Tiger fan, and absolutely wanted Bill Self before Self took the position at Kansas just the year before. Even he can admit some of these things, and we talk about this quite a bit. The first thing is that Bill is known for letting his players play their game. And I think this is really interesting. And I think about this a lot, and you and I have talked about this on recruiting into the law firm, and I think this kind of transcends industries, is that you can go to the market and you can recruit very specifically for an individual that's going to fit into your team. And if they don't fit perfectly into your team, the playbook that your team is running at that time, you could forego recruiting that person over, even though they may be incredibly talented, but you can't envision how to fit them into your team. Bill has had remarkable recruiting success, and I am not going to comment on your point earlier about setting aside the ethics. We won't talk about that here. It is absolutely true. He's had remarkable success as a recruiter. And one of the things that he has done, on top of being able to share the Kansas vision and his just general demeanor in recruiting, one of the things that he's done is to be able to identify somebody who is hugely talented, you know, McDonald All-American, whatever it is. And while he may not be able to envision how to fit him right into his playbook for that team at that time, he's looking for the most talented, and then he can pivot and work all of that talent into something that's going to work on the court, and letting them play their game and him modifying his game to suit the talent he has. And that's really pretty incredible. And I think that really relates and resonates with me in law firm leadership. And I think if I were in any other industry, it would be the same. That while you certainly have to recruit somebody that you can envision being part of the team from a demeanor culture standpoint, and you can't get too far out of the box in what you're bringing onto the team, but being able to also recognize that somebody that's a huge talent, you're going to find a way to use them somewhere and put them to best use. I think that's something that Bill has done really well that I think we can all learn from.
One of the things that's so true, if you look at whether it's elite law firms, elite private equity funds, elite basketball teams, is it is very hard to be fantastic without recruiting great talent. So the schools that are in the Final Four every year, that are near the top of the game, Kansas, UNC, Duke, this year Villanova was up there, but Villanova's not always up there. They basically win or lose based on recruiting great talent and then keeping that talent as much as they can and retaining them, but doing the best they can with that. Just magnificent athletes in that case, in law firms, private equity funds, it's magnificently smart people with lots of other skill sets. But this focus on very hard to do great work in anything you do without serious talent. And we speak a lot about that in terms of sorting out teams, in terms of you can hire less great talent and then you are managing very hard. Far better to hire great talent and let them thrive. And again, all kinds of different thoughts on that and so forth. But I think your point on recruit talent and figure out a way to make them work, you know, figure out the way that they will fit in versus trying to fit them into your scheme. If you got great talent, figure it out. I could not agree with that more. Amber, some more thoughts on Bill Self's leadership, because this concept of recruiting great talent and being flexible, if they're great talent, find a way to make them work. They don't have to fit into exactly your system, you know, but find the great talent and figure it out. I love that. Amber, some more thoughts on leadership and Bill Self and Kansas and so forth.
Sure, absolutely. So one of the things that I have really loved watching recently, and it was absolutely exemplified in the championship game on Monday night, and this is very different than the way Kansas used to be. It used to be that as a Kansas fan, you knew that if they didn't come out strong and on top at the very beginning of the game, that there was very little chance that they were going to be able to regroup, get back to their game, and actually pull out a win. There was very little chance of that. We all saw Monday night. Anybody that watched that game watched a historic game. It was the biggest come-from-behind victory in championship history. They went down, well, they went up first, but then they left the half at 25-40, and at one point they were actually down by 16, not just 15 going into the half. And then they came back after a major regroup, and you could see the team playing their game, not letting UNC control the playbook. And that obviously comes from great coaching, great talent on the court too, but great coaching. And that's something that I think also really translates to leadership is you have got to be able to suffer through adversity and not just give it up and chalk it to a loss, whatever it is, a customer base you're going after, a case if you're a lawyer, whatever it is. But great leaders can lead through and come out with a win on top. And I know that's super, super simplistic, but after that game on Monday night, you can't not recognize it.
And let me ask you a question about that, because one of the things that you've shown as a leader is this tremendous, and you've gotten better and better over the last 15, 20 years, this amazing emotional maturity. And how important is that emotional maturity, that constant ability to sort of put on as positive a face you can in the face of adversity to keep things going right, even when they're challenging? And Bill Self is talked about here about didn't give a big halftime speech, didn't do any of those things, wasn't rah-rah, we'll get back in this, but kept his even temperament going. And you've shown that as a leader as well. How important is that kind of temperament to leadership?
It is so incredibly important. And there certainly are effective leaders that have a very dramatic personality and who effectively put to use the highs and lows of their emotions. And they're able to translate that into something positive for their team. But I think that's a minority of leaders that can actually pull that off, because it's pretty dramatic for your team. And Bill, I think, it pulls off what is easier to emulate, which is keeping that steady, calm demeanor. People often describe him as an aw shucks demeanor. You know, he's fiercely competitive, but yet he has that kind of, you know, boy next door, aw shucks thing. He also is very, very calm. He doesn't tend to get overly dramatic. Yes, everyone has outbursts on the sidelines. We all do as leaders, but not as much as a different leadership style. And I do think that that's hugely important, because your team needs to see that you're cool, you're collected, you're not worried. Yeah, we're in a deficit here. We have suffered a hit. We have lost a client. We've lost a couple of key team members, but we're going to be okay. We stick to our game. We come back to core principles. We slow it down in Kansas's case in the final game, whatever it is for your team. And to be able to translate that to your team, but also have the team look at you and actually visibly see that you're calm, you're not uninterested, you're calm, and you are confident that you can pull this off. That is hugely important.
It's so healthy, and so healthy to the long-term recruiting and retaining great people is them feeling comfortable in your midst, that you could that it's all okay, that we could make this work, it's going to be okay. And I think that's a fascinating example there as well. So tell me, we've talked about recruiting, retention, we've talked about maintaining calm, temperament, resilience. Amber, one more quality from Bill Self before I go home and cry, because Illinois still has not won a national championship, at least since I've been alive. So give me one more great thing about Bill Self, stolen from Illinois, before I go home and cry. One more great leadership tactic.
Sure. I will give you, I love that one wasn't enough for him. Right? One national championship in 2008 for him was not enough. You have a new team. You have an ongoing commitment to the school. You have ongoing goals. You don't sit back on your laurels, and you're going to continue to strive and push. And yes, you may need to regroup a little bit, especially when it takes you 14 years to get that second championship under your belt, but you continue to be motivated and show up and push and know as a leader, we owe it to our team to continue to have those goals and push forward on our goals. And Bill absolutely exemplifies that. So I know he's not your favorite topic, but I am grateful that you let me spend a few minutes talking about him.
No, we're always thrilled to sort of learn and think about different leadership thoughts, leadership tactics, how people approach things. I mean, you can't argue with the success. There's so many of these coaches that it's so sad being a fan of a team that never seems to win at all. Like, you end up having your whole glory in cheering against the Jim Harbaughs, the Coach K's, the Coach Selfs of the world. It's what fills my bucket. So it's I guess, refreshing for me to have to listen to. My brother-in-law always talks about what a great, great coach Jim Harbaugh is. So many of my Duke friends talk about, no, Coach K is the greatest ever. You and my colleague Holly talk about, you know, Bill Self is the greatest of all time. And so I guess it's refreshing for me to have to hear it, and it's good for my own humility to have to hear about all this greatness all these other places. Amber, thank you as always for joining the Becker Private Equity Business Podcast. I know for our audience it might be a bit of a tangent, but what a great pleasure for the two of us. Thank you so much for listening, and Amber, thank you for joining.
Thank you.